Hey, real quick before we get started. Last episode, we talked about the importance of being an encouraging coach. If you know of a coach that's doing a fantastic job encouraging their players and making the game fun, then help us celebrate them. Go to coachcallstimeout.com/stories to nominate that coach and possibly have their story told on this podcast. You're now in the huddle with Coach Calls Timeout, the podcast that dissects the mind of a different basketball coach every episode. We uncover what makes them successful and how their story translates to your coaching journey. Let's unlock your team's potential together. Welcome to episode 14 of the Coach Calls Timeout podcast. Dan Jonker here. Today's episode is the final installment of the 7-part series, The Basketball Coaching Roadmap, where we explore the 7 areas where all successful coaches shine. I encourage you to go back and check out the previous episodes if you haven't done so already. Even coaches need to train. You can treat this 7-part series like your own personal off-season coaching course. Our goal is to add a little more to your coaching portfolio with each episode, and by next season you'll be ready to shine. In this episode, the Jonker brothers, that's me, Brian, and Brady, discuss the importance of being self-aware as a coach and how you can gain self-awareness. Self-awareness is critical to implementing every step of the basketball coaching roadmap. If you don't have the ability to honestly evaluate yourself and be aware of your surroundings, then you'll find it extremely difficult achieving your coaching goals. You'll find yourself confused and frustrated at your team's lack of success and your inability to connect with your players. Let's get to the discussion. Okay, so today is the last episode of the Basketball Coaching Roadmap, Self-Awareness. And today I have Brian and Brady with me. And we're going to talk about if self-awareness can actually help you become a better coach. Stepping outside of yourself to observe yourself is the act of self-awareness. And you have to be willing to be honest with yourself. We've talked about being honest with players and the players' parents, and maybe a little more difficult is being honest with yourself and evaluating your own performance and your own acts and words. So far, we've talked about communication, organization, adaptability, consistency, honesty, and encouragement. And this last step of self-awareness is actually the most important. If you don't have the self-awareness to know how you're communicating or if you're being honest or encouraging, then you're not going to be successful as a coach. Is there anything that you guys feel about self-awareness or anything that is important to you guys when you think about self-awareness?
Well, I think in general, first of all, it's more of a life skill. And if you're willing and able to be honest with yourself, I think it leads just in general to a better quality of life and more opportunities for self-improvement. Where it relates to coaching, I think everybody should be willing to understand and realize that there's always opportunities to improve, regardless of how much success you've had. Being able to look in the mirror and ask yourself, where are those areas that I can improve to help my players get better, to help my team get better, to help me be a better coach, are the things that ultimately are going to determine whether you continue to progress as a group. I mean, I think it's really important in general. It's a life skill, but if you're able to be honest with yourself, it's going to lead to better opportunities to realize your potential.
Yeah, I think too, if you're able to observe yourself as if you're, you know, kind of standing above and watching, it makes room for other dynamics. We've talked about in the adaptability podcast about the importance of accepting feedback. And if you're not able to observe yourself and honestly perform or honestly evaluate your performance, you're not going to be likely to take feedback. And feedback is the best way to improve your coaching skills.
Yeah, but you have to be willing to realize and accept that the feedback you're getting is true, even if you think maybe it isn't, you know, like there's, I don't think it's, again, I don't think it's easy to accept your faults. So when somebody, you know, especially if it's your players where, you know, technically you're in a position of authority, you know, to accept that criticism from an outside person and have you look in the mirror to maybe say, you know what, they might be right. It's not easy. But again, I think if you're willing and able to do that, it's only going to make you more, again, realize, give you better opportunities to realize your potential as a coach.
Yeah, for sure. It also, there's the for sure, by the way.
I was just going to say, you say for sure all the time. Brady clears his throat all the time, and yeah. You say for sure all the time. And there's got to be something I do as well, so tell me if I...
Well, there's your self-awareness.
Exactly. So you just were aware that you said for sure. I'm going to guess Brady's not aware that he clears his throat.
I'm fully aware.
He's not.
But now you made me think about it.
He's not, because I'm the one who edits it and I edit it out. So he doesn't know that. Just like yours, I'd probably edit them out. You have, and besides, you never even listen to the podcast probably anyway, so you don't know.
That's not true.
So back to what you were saying, just being able to accept the feedback and show your players that you're able to accept the feedback. We talked about this in a previous podcast, but it also displays a positive behavior for your players that you're accepting feedback, and in turn, they should be able to accept feedback as well.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you could practice what you preach, right? So you've got to be willing to take it if you want people to be listening to you and accepting it. So
on the note of players, I think it's extremely valuable to talk to your players after you've challenged them or given them feedback. You can ask them outright, how did it make you feel? What you learn from their answers is going to help you to become a better coach to that individual player, because obviously each player responds differently to challenges. But you'll understand them so much better and you'll become a better coach. You'll have a better team as well.
I agree.
So one of the biggest benefits of self-awareness is just simply knowing how you're doing and understanding your strengths and weaknesses. Bri, you talked about this being a life skill as well. Brady, you've just changed jobs. I would think self-awareness or being able to look at your strengths and weaknesses would come in handy with a new job. Is there anything that you've learned about yourself with your new job?
Switching jobs isn't always an easy thing to do. And sometimes it's hard to separate, you know, the people you work with from the work you're actually doing. I didn't dislike the people I was with at my previous position, but the work itself wasn't wasn't right for me. And the way we were doing it just didn't work for the way I like to work. The new place I'm at now, I've definitely learned a lot more about myself working there. You know, I have a little more freedom to make decisions, and I'm trusted a little more to make decisions, and it makes it a lot easier to go into work every day knowing that you're not going to be questioned. Again, it's the self-awareness. You know I make mistakes, and there's times I have to sit back and I have to evaluate it. And really, there's lots of times where the boss will come down and say, hey, you know, you didn't do this right, or you didn't do that right. And you have to take that and learn from it. And it's the same as a coaching position, really. I mean, you sit there and you tell your players, hey, you know, you need to work on this, you need to work on that, but you need to know your strengths and you need to know your weaknesses and you need to know what you have to work on to get better as a person and as, you know, a worker, an employee, a player, a coach. Being aware and taking that time to really learn and try to better yourself is the only way you're going to advance yourself in life.
So what does the process look like for you when you know that you've made a mistake at work? How do you reflect back and analyze what you could have done better?
Obviously, you try not to make the mistake again. So you take careful precautions because you do the same things over and over. So you try to take those precautions and remember the mistake you made on the previous job. And you go forward and you try to make sure that you pay a little more attention to that part the next time so that you don't make the same mistakes. And you can't let making a mistake affect the way you continue to do your job. If you make a mistake, you can't be afraid to go ahead and not make a mistake again. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to continue to make mistakes, but being okay with making mistakes in anything is going to help you as be a better person. You have to realize that, you know, you can't be perfect and you're going to make mistakes.
And that definitely goes for coaching, right? You also can't be afraid to try things. And in fact, you should be trying new things and doing things to constantly try and improve. Even if you're having success, finding other ways or different ways to try and even reach for different heights or new heights is important. So you can't be afraid of failing, or you can't be afraid of trying new things. That's for sure. I think that's what Brady says goes directly to coaching as well.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot in the last few podcast episodes. And if I remember correctly, I think Coach Carly Clark, the Ryerson coach for the women's team, when we asked her what was most important, she had said she wants players who aren't afraid to make mistakes. And they're extremely successful in their program.
The best players are constantly self-evaluating. You listen to the best players and they, at the end of the year, they look at, and I'm sure with some help from their coaches, they look at, you know, what do they need to improve on? And guys like Jordan and LeBron and Magic, they seem to focus on a different thing each summer and try and improve or master that. And they come back, okay, well, this summer, now I've got a post-up game, or now I can make the three, or you know what I mean? And they're constantly adding to it, and it's all because of self-evaluation.
Basketball, the game itself, can be quick. When you're as a coach, things happen fast, and you don't always have time to be self-aware. In crunch time of a big game, it's not the time. You have to find times to reflect and gain awareness during quiet times. It can be before or after practices or after games. Is there any situations that you've taken advantage of, Bri, where you've had to look back and reflect and maybe change what you wanted to do?
This will be my 12th year at Mohawk, and it was in year, I think, 6 or 7. I tell the story in the Kenneld Knight podcast because Kenneld was playing for me at the time, but I had one season where we were coming off a couple seasons where we were competitive and could beat good, you know, the best teams on any given night, but couldn't consistently beat them. And with the personnel that we had one of the best shooters in the league, if not the best shooter at the time, Ricky Heath. I thought that maybe we could change to a radically different system. And we tried to implement the Grinnell College system out of Iowa, where, you know, you're shifting your, subbing people off every 45 seconds, and the constant focus is to pressure and create as much up-tempo as you can, almost giving up layups in some cases with the pressure just to get the ball back. And you're constantly shooting, you know, 2/3 of your shots as threes and the majority of them by your best shooter. Your offensive rebounding, you're kicking out again to shoot more. It was a math equation. And it was, you know, it's designed, or it can help maybe even the playing field a little bit for against teams with more talent. So it was extremely radical. We beat the number 2 team in the country to start the year, Sheridan, something like 104-92. We turned around the next week and lost to not a very good team, a Lambton team that beat us 124-4. So guys were excited 1 week, and then the next week they were like, what the heck's going on here, coach? And by Christmas, we were not very good. And we ended the Christmas at the Christmas break, the first half of our season, and we're down 80-something to 40-something at Fanshawe at the half. And I remember the guys in the dressing room, I could hear them out in the hall screaming and yelling and upset. Kenneld was a voice of reason, trying to get them to believe in the coaches and listen to the coaches. But the reality was what I did wasn't working. And I needed to listen to them, and I needed to accept the fact that what I was teaching, what I was trying to sell, it just wasn't working. And consequently, the second semester, we made changes and went back to a more traditional style of playing. We had a better second semester, but it honestly, if I hadn't, you know, looked in the mirror, listened to the guys, and been willing to change and you know, self-evaluate and realize change was necessary, if I hadn't done that, I might not be coaching now, because I said, when I'm not having fun, I'm not going to do this anymore. And that season truly wasn't fun. And it was of my own doing. It was my own fault. But I was willing to listen and willing to self-evaluate and realize that I was doing a poor job and I needed to change. So that's what we did.
So how did that work out? What did that look like in the second semester when you looked in the mirror and decided to change back your style of play? Did you have a meeting with the players, or was it just kind of a practice over practice? You started doing different things. How did it work?
The second semester, when we decided to make that change, I got the guys together and said, listen, I've made mistakes here. I admitted, you know, what I was doing wasn't working. And told them that, listen, we're going to go back to playing a more traditional style. And we did that. So it was necessary to, it was so different that, I mean, it's not like I could just slowly implement something else and maybe you wouldn't notice. I mean, there had to be a come to Jesus moment where I said, listen, it's not working. I screwed up. Let's start fresh, guys. And we basically started fresh in January. But as I said, had a better second semester.
So what was the morale like that first couple of practices afterwards? Was it completely different than the previous month or two?
The morale of the group after the change back was more positive. Like I said, it was like starting a season over again. So there was, you know, we had to define roles, had to establish a rotation. There was more competition right off the get-go because they realized we weren't going to be subbing in shifts. So the morale changed dramatically, and it made a difference. It really saved me from not coaching anymore. So I'd like to think some self-evaluation or some self-awareness that made a considerable positive impact on my life.
So what kind of feedback throughout that first semester were you getting from your assistant coaches? It's important to have assistant coaches who are going to be honest with you, not just comply with whatever you say. What kind of feedback were you getting from your assistants that semester?
It wasn't as dramatic as the player response, because I think that the coaches, I mean, with the coaches, I'm only selling, you know, two or three guys on what I believe and why I believe we should be doing something a certain way. And the personnel that we had suggested that if we were going to play the system, you know, we had the pieces in place to be able to do it. We had probably the best shooter in the league at the time with Ricky Heath. And, you know, it wasn't as tough a sell to those guys. I know, though, that as the semester wore on and they saw that the body language of the group wasn't positive, none of them suggested, hey, we got to stop this. But they certainly were grasping at other ways that maybe we could teach and improve. So, I mean, that's positive. But they never actually said, hey, well, what the hell are we, let's stop this, you know? So that's difficult because they're, like you said, you want someone who's going to give you the feedback that you need. But at the same time, it's good to have the coaches on the same page. And when you do, you hope that translates to the players. But it was such a radical different thing. And the players, again, were the ones that had to be sold more than coaches. You know, so it was just a difficult situation all around, and it was 100% my own doing.
So usually what we do with our interview episodes is we'll have a full court press where we kind of rapid fire questions to the coach, quick answers. Let's do that with each other. Let's do a self-awareness, kind of a self-evaluation on...
Rapid fire self-awareness.
Yeah, you just gotta...
With the Jonker boys.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. To end the coaching roadmap, we have a full court press rapid fire questions of self-awareness with the Jonkers. All right. I don't want to hear any crying. Brady was too young to really grow up with us, so we don't have to talk about what he was like in the house.
No, just you. Both of you guys are coaching right now, so let's do that. Brian, you can start. Evaluate yourself quickly. I mean, what can you improve on as a coach?
This is difficult because I've always said this, yet I have difficulty changing. But I think I know that I can be... too easy almost sometimes, because there's a line in there where you're willing to accept a certain amount of mistakes. to keep confidence up and allow people to play free. I think I crossed that line in a lot of cases and allow things to happen that probably shouldn't. And I don't know how I improve on it. So that was, maybe I need, Dan, your wife's a therapist. Maybe I need a session to determine the right approach on how I'd actually go about changing that. But I probably need to be harder in some cases. And I think your best players want to be coached hard. And in some cases, I don't think I coach hard enough.
Emphasis on rapid fire. That's my feedback to Brian, is that that was not rapid fire. Okay, go for it, Brady.
All right, wait a minute. If you want rapid fire, you want to know what I need to improve on. It's difficult because our parents can't have any more kids, but I don't know how to surround myself with better siblings.
Well, you can just cut us out. That's fine too. We'll be okay with that.
All right.
Brady, go for it.
I guess just being newer to coaching, it's just more me stepping back and just, you know, trying to learn from other people and learn the ropes, I guess.
What do you mean? You're unwilling to learn from anyone else?
No, I'm willing to learn from anyone.
Self-evaluate. What do you need to improve on?
Well, it's hard. I've never actually coached my own team. I only coached as an assistant.
You got to have something as an assistant where you'd say, you know what, I wish I did this better or did that better or I could do this better.
I think he's saying he needs to step back a little more and observe instead of get in there as much, maybe.
Well, and I'd like to think maybe I need to learn a little bit more in the sense that, you know, if I were to run my own practice right now, would I go in, you know, preparing a little more myself for what I need to do? Sometimes I go in there and I just roll with it and have an idea in my head what I want to do, but don't have it on paper. And sometimes it doesn't always work out the way, you know, practice goes by pretty slow sometimes. And all of a sudden you're out of drills and I'm sitting there while the girls are drinking water thinking, what the hell do I run next? Like,
so you could be better prepared.
Yeah.
That's interesting, Brady, because in about a month or so, we're going to have something for people like you. We'll have practice plans that they can download.
And I would use them. I probably won't write them.
He could use them, but it sounds like he won't be creating them.
No, that's right. Yeah. For all the listeners out there, I won't be creating them.
All right, I'll evaluate myself on the podcast because I am currently not coaching. So here's my thing, especially that I'm the one who edits these podcasts, and it's painful to listen to myself. I am monotone and it's beyond painful to listen to, and I, like you, Brad, I know that about myself, but I don't know how to change it.
You got a therapist in the house, man.
Without it seeming disingenuous or something, it just, I don't know how to do it. So any last words for coaches out there?
Well, hopefully you could put together the coach's roadmap and all these podcasts, and we'll have them, the blogs as well in some form of a book at some point. But hopefully the roadmap's of value. And now that everybody's getting back into their seasons, we're going to start again with podcasts with guests and start talking to other coaches out there at different levels and discussing their tips, their challenges and their successes that we can all share in and learn from.
Yeah, they can start getting different perspectives, learn from the experiences of other coaches, not just listening to us, which will be invaluable.
And if there's anybody out there who has suggestions of people that they think would make for good guests, we're always willing, and go to the website, coachcallstimeout.com, and drop us a line and make the suggestion. Otherwise, we have some CIS and CCAA coaches coming up. We probably, at some point throughout the year, too, will have NCAA coaches. So we're looking forward to all of that this season. And every other week, we'll continue to do this. Dan does all the heavy lifting. So if the response continues to be as good as it has been and Dan is interested, then Maybe we'll even up how often we do them, but right now it's every other week.
Well, let's wait. Wait a second. Are you volunteering me for more? This is. I've got a full time job and kids, and
the public wants more. Dan, okay. Self evaluate and ask yourself how you could fit in more.
This is not any of our actual jobs. It's just a passion project, I guess, if you want to put a term to it. But I'm not going to commit to more. That's for sure. Not right now.
I don't believe I committed him to it. I just said that maybe if...
Oh, yeah. You're putting it out there. Now I'm going to be the bad guy saying no.
If the people speak.
This is my last thing that I would say about self-awareness. If you're kind of on the fence, if you listen to this and you're on the fence, you don't know if you're self-aware or need to be more self-aware. The answer is you're probably not enough. If you have players who've quit on you or you're constantly having difficulties with players, I would suggest getting a friend, an assistant coach to sit in the stands, a partner, somebody, and just record yourself coaching. And you will learn a ton about yourself. It will help you become more aware of your body language, what you're saying. You won't even need to know what's happening in the game at the time. You'll see what your body language and what your actions are doing. And it will help you a lot in terms of improving your coaching.
Too often, I think we're willing to look for people to blame versus asking yourself, what can I do differently to improve the situation?
There you have it. Let's make a deal with each other. The new basketball season is fast approaching, and for some, it may have already started by the time this episode airs. Let's make a deal that you'll commit to finding quiet times throughout the season to honestly evaluate yourself and replay important moments in your head. Your ability to become or remain aware of your surroundings will drastically enhance your leadership abilities. But remember, you're only as good as your ability to be honest with yourself. This episode was brought to you by Audible, the worldwide leader in audiobooks. As a listener to our podcast, you can go to audibletrial.com/coach to receive a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial with Audible. Choose from a wide variety of books to listen to on the go or while you're relaxing. You can show your support for our podcast by going to audibletrial.com/coach to start your free trial. If you enjoyed what you've heard, we'd appreciate it if you could rate us on iTunes. It really does help. If you're interested in what we do at Coach Calls Timeout, you can go to coachcallstimeout.com to learn more. There's even a free 7-day trial of our membership program you can take advantage of as a podcast listener. Our next episode will return to the original format, and we'll have an interview with a successful basketball coach who's willing to share their coaching journey and help us all learn from their experiences. Thanks, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.